Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul.
Welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevins Welder.
Today we are going to talk about the Holy Spirit during the tribulation. Some people say he's not going to be here working in the earth during the tribulation. He's going to be taken out. A lot of people say that. A lot of other people say, no, he's going to be here. And maybe you believe that he's going to be taken out because of what you've been taught. Maybe you believe that because of what you've studied. Maybe you don't know. Maybe you're curious what the Holy Spirit's going to be doing. Well, there are a lot of people who have been taught that the Holy Spirit will be removed from the earth during the tribulation. And this teaching comes from a misunderstanding of one particular verse, and that verse is 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 7. Read the passage with me. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 7. The mystery of iniquity doth already work, only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. That's what the verse says. Now, it is commonly believed that he in this verse is the Holy Spirit. It is also commonly believed that letteth in this verse refers to hindering the mystery of iniquity. Certainly the word letteth does refer to hindering. It's used in the same way that you use the word let in tennis, okay? So, no question about that. It definitely has to do with hindering something, but the common belief is that it is hindering the work of the mystery of iniquity. In other words, the idea is that the work of the mystery of iniquity is currently being hindered by the Holy Spirit until the Holy Spirit is taken out of the way during the tribulation. Read the verse again. The mystery of iniquity doth already work, only he, that is the Holy Spirit, who now letteth, will let, or hinder, until he, that is the Holy Spirit, be taken out of the way. That's the way 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 7 is commonly interpreted. I've heard it that way many times. I'm sure you have too. And then the idea is that once the Holy Spirit is taken out of the way, then the mystery of iniquity will no longer be hindered or restrained in his work. He'll be free to work without restraint. But you know something? That's not what 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 7 says at all. He, in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 7, is not the Holy Spirit, and letteth, in this verse, is not a reference to hindering the work of the mystery of iniquity. Notice, for the mystery of iniquity doth already work. The idea is, the way that this is commonly interpreted, is that the Holy Spirit is restraining the mystery, the work of the mystery of iniquity. And that's not what the letting is a reference to. It is certainly hindering something, but it's not the work. Letteth, in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 7, is a reference to hindering the man of sin from being revealed. Revealed is the key word. All right, look at the context. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Look at verse 3. Verse 3. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Remember you not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things? And now you know what withholdeth, watch it, that he might be revealed. What's being withheld is his revelation. Now you know what withholdeth that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way, and then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. You see what is being withheld, clearly in the context, is his revelation. That day, verse 3, shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed. That's what has to happen, the son of perdition. Verse 6, and now you know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. So there is a withholding, there's a restraint until he can be revealed in his time. And that time has to do with the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. It has to do with that falling away first in the revelation of the man of sin. Verse 8, then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Do you understand that? It's very important to see. The truth is, the Holy Spirit continues to work here even during the tribulation. The truth is, what is being prevented, what is being withheld, is the revelation of the man of sin, the revelation of the son of perdition. So it's not the Holy Spirit's not taken out of the way. The Holy Spirit's not even in the context of 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 1 through 10. Now, how can you tell then that the Holy Spirit continues to work here even during the tribulation? Well, there's several ways. First, the mystery of iniquity in verse 7, the mystery of iniquity doth already work. The mystery of iniquity in verse 7 is a person. He is a man. And he, not the Holy Spirit, is the one who is taken away. He is the one who has been preventing or withholding the identity of the man of sin. He is the one that has been preventing the identity of the man of sin from being revealed by letting his revelation until he, that is the mystery of iniquity, is taken out of the way. You say, well, I don't understand. Yeah, you do. There is a person right now who is the mystery of iniquity. There is a person right now who has been working, and it's different people in that office who have been working as the spirit of Antichrist. A good candidate. I'm not saying that this is where I am, but he's the best candidate. A good candidate for the mystery of iniquity is the Pope. For centuries, he has not been recognized by the world as the spirit of Antichrist. Keep your finger where you are in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and turn with me to 1 John chapter 4. All right, in 1 John chapter 4, in verses 3 through 6. Watch this. 1 John chapter 4, verses 3 through 6. Every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof you have heard that it should be that it should come, and even now already is it in the world. You're of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. They are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Now notice, there is a spirit of Antichrist that should come, and even now already is it in the world. You see that? So this spirit of Antichrist has been working. This mystery of iniquity is, it's a mystery because you don't know who's behind it, and it's iniquity when you don't realize it's iniquity. So a good candidate for that role is the Pope, because you can't tell who is behind him. So this mystery of iniquity, according to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, is going to continue to let, he is going to withhold, he is going to hinder the identity or the revelation of the identity until the man of sin is revealed. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 3, let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come, what? A falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. So something happens and boom, now you see him. He's the son of perdition. Well, you know who the son of perdition is. The son of perdition is Judas Iscariot. Keep your finger where you are and turn to John chapter 17. John chapter 17. Now, John chapter 17, Jesus Christ is praying to his Father. And in this passage, he talks about his disciples. And he says, verse 10, all mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to thee. Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. Watch it. Verse 12. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me I have kept, and none of them is lost, but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. Huh. So the one person he's talking about is Judas Iscariot. And he calls Judas Iscariot in John chapter 17, verse 12, the son of perdition. And Paul, in writing to the Thessalonians, said, the son of perdition is going to be revealed as the man of sin. Now turn with me to Revelation chapter 17 and notice during the tribulation, he's revealed. Revelation chapter 17, look at verse 8. Revelation 17, 8, the beast that thou sawest was, so this is a person who had been here, and is not, at the time John writes this, he's not here, and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit and go into perdition. And they that dwell on the earth shall wonder whose names were not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world when they behold the beast that was and is not and yet is. And then he goes on to say, and here is the mind which hath wisdom. The seven heads are seven mountains on which the woman sitteth, and so forth. And there are seven kings, verse 10. Five are fallen, and one is, and the other is not yet come. And when he cometh, he must continue a short space, about the length of the time of the tribulation. And the beast that was and is not, even he is the eighth and is of the seven, and goeth into perdition. All right, so what happens then during the tribulation, Judas Iscariot ascends out of the bottomless pit. You might remember in Acts chapter 1 when they are replacing Judas Iscariot. When Judas Iscariot died, when he hung himself, he did not, the Bible didn't say he went to hell. It says he went to his own place. Well, his own place is the bottomless pit. And there he is known as Abaddon or Apollyon. All right? He ascends out of the bottomless pit as the devil incarnate. When does he do that? He does it when the mystery of iniquity is taken away. And then, at that time, he won't be a mystery anymore. And the reason he won't be a mystery anymore is because that wicked will be revealed. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 8. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. So the Holy Spirit is not the one taken away before the revelation of the wicked. The Holy Spirit is not mentioned anywhere in the context of 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 1 through 10. The mystery of iniquity is the one who is taken away. The person who is preventing you from understanding that the person who is working behind him is the devil. That's why he's a mystery. You don't even realize what he's doing is wrong. That is, unless you believe the Bible. And that's why I say the Pope is a good candidate, because that whole system is iniquity. That whole idea of worshiping the host at the Eucharist, that whole idea of genuflecting there, that whole idea of this priesthood and not having the priesthood of the believer, that whole thing, that's iniquity. And it's a mystery because you can't see the spirit of Antichrist working behind that. Not until he's taken out of the way. When he's taken out of the way and the son of perdition is revealed, then you know who it is. It's the devil incarnate. So the Holy Spirit's not the one taken away. The mystery of iniquity is. Turned to Revelation chapter 17. You see, in Revelation chapter 17, when this guy comes up out of the bottomless pit, watch what else is going on. In Revelation chapter 17, look at verse 16. You have to read the whole chapter for the full context, but get this. The ten horns, which thou sawest upon the beast, these shall hate the whore, and shall make her desolate and naked, and shall eat her flesh, and burn her with fire. For God hath put in their hearts to fulfill his will, and to agree, and to give their kingdom unto the beast, until the worlds of God, until the words of God should be fulfilled. And the woman which thou sawest is that great city which reigneth over the kings of the earth. So what's happened is this. This person that inhabits this mystery of iniquity, this person who is the mystery of iniquity, has these ten kings, and they are confederate. And then at this appointed time when the man of sin is revealed, they turn on him, they turn on the mystery of iniquity, and they kill him. They destroy the whore. And boom, now it's the beast. They give their kingdom unto the beast. The beast is this son of perdition. He's this man of sin. And you know who it is. It's the devil incarnate. So he's the one taken away. Okay? Here's the second thing. And you say, how do you know the Holy Spirit is here during the tribulation? Well, here's the second thing. There are a few references in the Bible that deal with the tribulation. And those same passages also mention the Holy Spirit. For instance, turn to Mark chapter 13. Mark chapter 13. All right, in Mark chapter 13, look at verse 11. When they shall lead you and deliver you up, take no thought beforehand what you shall speak, neither do ye premeditate, but whatsoever shall be given unto you in that hour, that speak ye, for it is not ye that speak, but the Holy Ghost. You know what the context is? Mark 13:11, the verse we just read, is in the middle of a context that is clearly a reference to the tribulation. Look at Mark 13:14. But when ye shall see the abomination of desolation, spoken of by Daniel the prophet, standing where it ought not, let him that readeth understand, then let them that be in Judea flee to the mountains. The abomination of desolation, spoken of by Daniel the prophet, okay, is clearly a tribulation reference. Okay? Look in Mark chapter 13, verse 15 to 18. Let him that is on the housetop not go down into the house, neither enter therein to take anything out of his house, but let him that is in the field not turn back again for to take up his garment. Woe to them that are with child and them that give suck in those days, and pray ye that your flight be not in winter. Those are the Jews running for their lives to get away from the Antichrist. Verse 19, in those days shall be affliction, such as was not from the beginning of creation, which God created unto this time, neither shall be. You know what that is? The affliction of that time exceeds all other since creation. Matthew calls it the great tribulation. Look at verses 21 and 22. And then if any man shall say unto you, lo, here is Christ, lo, he is there, believe him not, for false Christ and false prophets shall rise and shall show signs and wonders to seduce, if it were possible, even the elect. You know what this is? That's that deception in the tribulation. Look at Mark 13 at verse 13. Ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake, but he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. We've talked about that recently. You know what that is? That is the end of the world, not the end of a man's life. The world being that system that is now currently under the control of the devil. Turn to Matthew chapter 24 and notice the same references, and they are solidly tribulation. Matthew chapter 24, look at verse 13. He that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. What's the end? Verse 3, the end of the world. That is the end when Jesus Christ returns to this earth and sets up his millennial reign. Then shall the end come. What's the context? Verse 21, then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, nor shall ever be. Clearly, the passage is a tribulation passage. These are all tribulation references. And Mark 13:11 says, in all of this context, when they shall lead you and deliver you up, take no thought beforehand what you shall speak, neither do you premeditate. But whatsoever shall be given you in that hour, that speak ye, for it is not ye that speak, but the Holy Ghost. I'm telling you, the Holy Ghost is not removed during the tribulation. He is here, and he is actually speaking through these men that must give a testimony before rulers and kings during the tribulation, who are not to premeditate on their answers. That's an amazing thing. You see, these are not the when these guys testify, they're not giving their own answers. The Spirit of God is speaking through them. So he's still working here in the earth during the tribulation. Another text that shows us that the Holy Spirit is not taken away during the tribulation is Hebrews chapter 6. Hebrews chapter 6, verses 4 through 6. In Hebrews chapter 6, verses 4 through 6, you're seeing what happens when men lose their salvation in the tribulation. Hebrews 6, 4 through 6. It is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost, and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come, if they shall fall away, to renew them again unto repentance, seeing they crucify to themselves the Son of God afresh and put him to an open shame. There are so many verses that we've talked about that show you the eternal security of the believer during the church age. This guy can fall away, and he will lose his salvation. It's impossible. It's impossible to renew him again unto repentance. All right, in that deal, this guy has lost his salvation for doing what? For taking the mark of the beast would be a perfect example. Now, notice something. If they lose their salvation, they can't get it back. But notice what they had before they, quote, lost it. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 4. They were made partakers of the Holy Ghost. That could not be possible unless the Holy Spirit is here during the tribulation. Now, I know there's plenty of debate about Hebrews chapter 6, verses 4 through 6. But if you study out all the verses on eternal security and study what this thing here says, verses that show you eternal security and that passage of Scripture are not compatible in the church age, but make perfect sense when you realize Hebrews 6, 4 through 6 is a tribulation passage. There's not going to be any more Bible written, and whatever those folks in the tribulation need has to already be recorded in your Bible. And when you read in Hebrews chapter 1 that this is addressed to Hebrews, who in time past were spoken unto the fathers by the prophets, and in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, and we're talking about Hebrews, and you realize that God is dealing with the Jews again during the tribulation, you can find out exactly what's going on, and the Holy Spirit is still working here. Turn to Hebrews chapter 10. I'll show you another one. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 26 to 31. Again, there's a lot of debate where these things belong, what it means. But Hebrews chapter 10, verses 26 to 31, verse 26 matches Hebrews 6, 4 through 6. If we sin willfully after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins. If a man takes the mark of the beast, he's done. Tribulation. Hebrews 10, 27 clearly matches 2 Thessalonians 1, 7 through 9. A certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation. That's the second coming of Jesus Christ when he comes in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God. Verse 30, vengeance. You see it? All right. These verses establish the context for Hebrews chapter 10, verse 29. And you know what Hebrews chapter 10, verse 29 talks about? Somebody who was sanctified and hath done despite unto the Spirit of grace. Can't do that unless the Holy Spirit is working here during the tribulation. Let's go to one more. Isaiah 59, look at verse 19. Isaiah 59, look at verse 19. And in Isaiah 59, 19, we are clearly looking at a passage of Scripture dealing with the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ and the war that he's going to have against the nations who rise up against Israel. Isaiah 59, verse 19. So shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west and his glory from the rising of the sun. Second advent. You can read the context to get it clearly. But look at verse 20. The Redeemer shall come to Zion. We're talking about the second coming. Watch what happens. Verse 19. When the enemy shall come in like a flood. We're talking about the nations surrounding Israel or surrounding Jerusalem and getting ready to attack. What happens? When the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him. Can't happen unless the Spirit is here doing something during the tribulation and at the end of the tribulation, standing against that flood of armies coming against the nation of Israel. You know, the one lifting up the standard against the enemy is the Spirit of the Lord. So you have to listen. Let's say you've heard this and you say, I don't believe any of that. I'm going to still go with what I've always heard. Why don't you go back and study it for yourself? Because if the Spirit of God is really working here during the tribulation and you keep saying he's not, and then you have your stuff all recorded and these poor tribulation folks are trying to, you know, get with God and the whole Spirit of God is trying to work and they're saying, well, he can't be working in our lives because he's not. That's what that old preacher said. You want to get the thing right. I mean, you can see from the Bible that the Holy Spirit is active on the earth during the tribulation, contrary to what many have believed and contrary to what many have been taught before. So just, if you don't want to take this study that we've done to figure that out, go in and do your own study. Look for the antecedent to the word he in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 7, and find, if you can, the Holy Spirit in the context. He's not there. And the reason is, he's not the one that's taken out of the way. And I hope you understand that. I hope that it helps you when you do your other Bible study, so it will clear up some other verses for you that may be still a difficulty. You know, our intention in things like this is never, never to try to get into a debate, never, never to try to sit here and wrench people around. Listen, we just want to teach what the Bible says and believe what the Bible says and understand it as God will let us understand it. Amen.
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. For information about our church, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Rand Morgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you.
Hallelujah.